St. John, in the 8th chapter, in the 47th verse, he that is of God heareth God's words. Jesus went on to tell them, said, ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. That's a real simple thing, isn't it? He said, if you was of God, you would hear God's words. He said, but inasmuch as you can't hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches, or inasmuch as you don't hear God's word, then he said you could not be of God, because God's people hear God's words. That makes sense, don't it, Brother James? All right, now, in the book of St. John, here's what he says. I am the good shepherd, 10th chapter, 14th verse, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. Now, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This is the commandment. This commandment have I received of my Father. So the Jews said, he hath the devil, he's mad. And then Jesus goes on, he said, the 26th verse, but ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do ye stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou being a man, makest thyself God. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, I said that ye are gods? If he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said I am the Son of God. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though you believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. The Bible says here, therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand. Now, I just want to comment a little bit on this. I had a number of things that I wanted to really get into tonight, but I thought, no, I can't do it. I better not do it. I just better not even attempt to do it. So I thought I'd just read a little and comment. Because I feel an atmosphere of good folks, fine folks at church. But I don't feel the atmosphere of that real hunger and thirst. Whereas the Bible said, he that hungers and thirsts after righteousness shall be filled. I just don't feel that. But I want to say some things here that's real good for us. If we can listen. Jesus said, is it not written in your law that I say it? Now that's a big statement right there. It is no wonder the Jews wanted to stone him to death. A lot of readers read this and they never see that. They never catch that. See, why did they want to stone Jesus to death? Jesus had not made the statement that he was God. You can't find here where he made the statement that he was God. Find any place there where he said he was God. He didn't say he was God. He did say he was the Son of God. But the Bible said Adam was the Son of God. You testify to the fact that you are a Son of God. But he did not say he was God. But what he did say, and this is what caused them to want to stone him. See, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life." That they couldn't digest. You are Joseph's son. You are a carpenter's son. We know you. We know your father. And you tell me that you're going to give somebody eternal life. Who do you think you are? And this is what tore them up. And this is what upset them. And this got them clear out of bounds. Then Jesus went on down to say, "I and my Father are one." Now, he couldn't have said, "I and my Father are one," and not been God. Then he went on down and he said, "Is it not written in your law that I said ye are gods?" And then again they got tore up. You always have to say, "What do you mean you said? What do you mean? I said that you're gods. Is it not in the Old Testament that I said that you're gods?" And then they were all tore up again. "You said that we're gods." How many understand what I'm saying? See, they went on to say, "You're not yet 50 years old. And you say that you saw Abraham." And he said, "I say unto you, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. I'm the one that said you was gods." You read it in the Old Testament, in the book of Psalms, where it said, "Ye are gods, but ye shall die like men," because of the lack of knowledge, the Bible tells us. But Jesus said, "I was the one that said that." Can you understand why they were upset at him? But nevertheless, he said, "I called you gods. Didn't I say that you're gods?" Now, someone would say, "Well, Brother Pike, that was the Old Testament." But here Jesus said, "If those to whom the Word of God came..." Now, how many of you feel like the Word of God's coming to you? "If those to whom the Word of God came..." If I have called them gods, why do you get upset because I say I'm the Son of God? So then that gives us something to go on. If them to whom the Word of God has come, God sending His Word to you and I. The Bible said God sent His Word, and God sent His Word and healed them. So then you to whom the Word of God has come. The Word of God has come unto us. Now the Word of God says, "Ye are gods. Ye are gods." Why is it that the people get so upset when you talk about being gods? What causes them to get upset? The very same devil that caused those people to get upset when Jesus said he was God. When he said he was God, though he did not say he was God, just to come out and say I'm God, but it's very evident that the things that Jesus said, he was saying, "I am God. I am God." So he said, "I'm God, and besides me there's none other. I know not of any," Jesus said. And this is the way that the Jews believe it. They believe that there is one God, just one God, just one God. Even great men like Polycarp that died at the stake for the faith of Christ still, according to history, cause problems as to the Trinitarian teachings coming against the one God message that was taught in the second chapter of Acts. Tertullian, another man, caused the problems. See, though you may be devout, though you may be a great person, though you may be willing to give your life, yet the thing is, do you really understand who God is? And do you really understand that a man can actually be a God? Is it possible for a man to be a God? Is it possible for a human being to be a God? Can a man actually be a God? Can he be a God? Jesus said, "Ye are gods. Ye are gods." Somebody said, "Brother Pike, that's just you." No. The Bible said, "He that God sendeth will speak God's word." He said, "Ye are gods." Jesus said, "Ye are gods." "Why do you get so disturbed?" Jesus said. He said, "I'll tell you why you get disturbed, because you're of your father the devil." He said, "That's what's wrong with you. That's what's wrong with you. Your generation of vipers, you're of your father the devil. He's a liar. He was a liar from the beginning, and ye are of your father the devil. So that's why you don't understand my words. That's why you don't understand what I'm saying. When I say something," he said, "you don't understand it because you don't have an ear to hear." That is to say, they're not the church. And he said, "If you can't hear me, then you're not my sheep." Well, you got to belong to somebody. So then who do we belong to? Well, we belong to God. But who did they belong to? He said, "You're of your father the devil." So then when I feel these old minds of resistance, I feel these old contrary spirits, when I go to talk about God, when I go to point out the things of God, what is that that I feel? It's the devil. Who is it coming from? The children of the devil. Spots and blemishes in our feast of charity. What is that resistance that I feel? It's the carnal mind that's enmity with God. People who think too highly of themselves, and they've got their minds on themselves and what they are and who they're going to be and what God is wanting them to be in their own carnal reasoning. And they are fleshly, always looking back into Egypt, always looking back into Egypt. Though they put their hand to the plow, though they've come to the wonderful truths of God, yet they're always looking back into the land of Egypt. My kindred, my sisters, my brothers, my daddy, my mother. See, they're fleshly. They still haven't come out from the land of Egypt. Always looking back into the flesh, looking back to the things of the world, looking back to natural securities and turning back into Egypt. You know, they did not go back into Egypt, bodily speaking. But the Bible said that they turned back into Egypt in their hearts. Folks, any time that your mind goes back to the flesh, whether it's relatives of the world or whatever it is, you've turned back into Egypt. You put your hands to the plow and you've looked back into Egypt. And God said you're not fit for the kingdom of heaven. You're not fit for the kingdom of heaven. Any man, Brother Pike, you, whoever it might be, the Bible said any man having put his hands to the plow, looking back into Egypt, is not fit for the kingdom of God. Talking about the preacher's problems now. Again, the preacher's problems. What is the problem? He's got this resistance. He's got this carnal mind that wars against him. He's got people that sit in the seat of the scornful. He's got people that stand in the way of sinners. And these things are the preacher's problems. See, he gets out of the natural mind to move into the mind of the Spirit. And he seeks to be in the mind of God so he can exhort the people, so he can preach to the people, so he can tell the people what God wants them to do. Called the people to be shaped up into the things of Christ. See, and he has these problems. He runs into these people. See, and you can't talk with them. You can't tell them anything. They've got their own idea. Bless God, somebody says, that's my daddy you're speaking about. That's my brother you're speaking about. That's my sister you're speaking about. God help you when you're so carnal minded that you can't get your sister, your brother, your mother, your daddy, your son, whoever it might be. You can't get them out of your mind to get sober and go on with God and to leave those things behind. God have mercy on you when you are so minute in your minds that you have to lean in such a silly direction to do such a silly thing and cause the minister of God problems. And even more silly and more foolish, the Bible speaks of silly women, and they're silly men. So foolish that you can't get out of your own mind, your own intellect. Always the preacher's problems. This is the preacher's problems. You can't get out of it. You can't get away from it. No matter what he says, you can't get away from it. Your old carnal, devilish mind warring all the time, coming against the preacher, the preacher's problems. You know why you do that? Because you're of your father, the devil. It doesn't matter if you come to Little Bethlehem. It doesn't matter if you come to this church. It doesn't matter if you live here on the campground. It doesn't matter who you are or what you think that you are. You're of your father, the devil. You're carnally minded. And the carnal mind is enmity with God. And it makes war, constantly makes war. You know, a lot of people feel like, well, I've got to be a murderer. I've got to kill somebody. Or they feel like I've got to be gullible for money. Or I've got to be a lush devil, as we say. You know, if I'm bad. But you don't have to be like that. All you got to do is have that old devilish mind of your carnality that you can't get rid of your flesh. You can't get rid of yourself. You can't come out of the flesh. You can't come out of the land of your kindred. You can't get away from relatives. You can't get away from the things of the world or the things. All you got to do is just do that, and you're just of your father, the devil. That's all you got to do. Somebody said, no, you got to be big and bad, Brother Pike. Well, all Peter did, he just said to the Lord, nay, Lord, be it far from you. We're not going to let anybody hurt you. Jesus said, you devil, get out of my way. Come on, folks. That's all the man said. He didn't do nothing else. Lord, we love you. We're not going to let anybody bother you. Jesus said, you devil, get out of the way. Oh, they just get thee behind me, Satan. For thou savest the things that be of the flesh and not the things that be of God. So then what was Peter thinking about? He was thinking about the flesh. Can you deny that? He was thinking about the Lord Jesus' flesh. Ain't nobody going to beat on your flesh. But nevertheless, Jesus said, nay, Peter, that's not the way. See, so if God would allow Jesus to bring a definition the way that he did concerning the body of his own son, in that he was made in the image of sin, you can be sure of one thing, folks, and that is when we get our minds on our relatives, on our own body, on mom and daddy and all these other things, and we get a conglomeration of a mess in our minds, looking back into Egypt, whether it be wife, husband, whatever it might be, you can be sure that God isn't going to like it. Well, what can we say? The preacher's problems. Now, just suppose that we look at it the way that Abraham did. He took his own son, laid his own son on the altar. And my, we have so much to say about that that I wanted to say, and maybe we will get the chance to do that. But he laid his own son on the altar. Folks, listen. Just because we want to play around with an old devil, I was telling some of the brethren this the other night, want to play around with the old devil. We don't want to get straight. You know, we want to keep our minds on mommy and on daddy and all the things of the world. Looking back into Egypt. And you say, don't do that. And you say something, I don't understand, it's confusing to me. I don't understand, you devil, you can't understand. There's no way you can understand. Because the Bible said, you'll not see when good cometh. The God of this world, even Lucifer, has blinded your eyes that you can't see. You've got a devil of rebellion. You've got a devil of contrariness. You don't want to listen. You don't want to understand. All you want is your devilish carnal ways to include mommy and daddy and brother and sister in your own silly ways to vex the preachers. I'm talking about the preacher's problem. This is what the preacher has to contend with. Why don't we grow up? I know little babies, you have to work with little babies. I understand that. You know, you don't scold little babies. You don't tear little babies up. But folks, I'm talking about folks that's been in the gospel, been in religion for years. I'm not talking about somebody that came into the church yesterday. What is it? Somebody says, I don't understand. I've had that for years here. I don't understand. You know why you don't understand? Because you got a devil of rebellion. You don't want to understand. But if I'll do the way you want to do, and I'll include everything the flesh can bring in, from basketball to brother, sister, daddy, mother, whatever, so you can have it your way, I'll guarantee you'll understand. All of a sudden, you'll be the most understanding person I got. But that devil of rebellion that you got, God isn't going to accept it. How can anybody be so ignorant to come here and say, the brethren I can accept, the message I can accept, but Brother Pike, I just can't accept him. How can anybody be so ignorant? I've heard of ignorant folks, but how can anybody be so ignorant? Lord, we can accept everything that you preach. You know, that's just like the ignorance of those people that said something concerning Brother Branham one time. Some of the preachers got together and they said, this man's a prophet. Somebody said, No. Said, you can go along with him. The miracles, the works, whatever he's doing. But said, don't listen to that doctrine. Now, can't you just picture God confirming something that's not the doctrine of Christ? With signs and wonders, God confirms the things that's not of God. You know God is not that ignorant. The Bible said God worked with them, confirming the ministry with signs and wonders. See, it's just like building this place here. Has God allowed us to build this place so that we could just be a thorn in his flesh? How could I build it? I didn't have any money. I'm not a builder. I don't know what to do about things like that. And he said, well, you don't have to shout at me. Well, pardon me. Bible said, lift up your voice like a trumpet. And that's pretty loud. So, if I scream at you, just pardon God. The thing is, who built this place? Somebody said, bless God, Brother Pike built it. Well, then you got more confidence in Brother Pike than Brother Pike's got in Brother Pike. Because I am of the opinion that I couldn't possibly build this place. So then you got more confidence in me than I have myself. You say, well, who built it? The Bible said, unless God builds the house, the man that buildeth labors but in vain. God built the house. It was God that built it. I'm here. See, I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to bring you to some truths. As long as we got this rebellion, as long as we got this contrariness, as long as we use the old hobby horse of excuse, I've had people to look at me, you know, and they'd say, I don't understand, Brother Pye. And I think, you hypocrite, you lying hypocrite. Because when I picked up their spirit, they were standing there like this. I know. I got the thing figured out. I understand. And putting on a little humility act. The Bible said the devil humbleth himself. Because that old stubborn spirit of rebellion, he didn't want to get rid of it, or she didn't want to get rid of it. And so there they stood. I don't understand myself. I thought you're lying hypocrite. So then, what are we? What are we? Are we going to be children of God? Are we going to be half-breeds? You know, when Nehemiah in the day of King Artaxerxes received the decree to build the walls back to the coming of the Messiah, when Nehemiah received it, 441 B.C., the 14th day of March, or Nisan as they call it, building it back, he had a mind to work. The people had a mind to work. But here come old half-breed, Sanballat. Couldn't nobody do nothing. I don't understand why my name ain't on the roll. Nehemiah said, you're half-breed. That's why your name ain't on the roll. You know you're half in the world and you're half persuaded. You're half resistant. You're half problems. And everything we go to do, you mock it or tear it down. He said, you're half-breed. That's where the problem is. You've been down in Egypt. Or down in Babylon, the people have been down there for about 70 years. And they done got mixed up in their marriages. Married every kind of person, all kinds of mixed up mess. And they were no longer full-blooded Jews. That's what's wrong with some of you. See, you don't get down to business with God, you don't get full-blooded in Christ, you don't get down to business and come to the things of God, I don't understand. Well, what can you say, Brother Pike? I say one thing, you are a wicked man and woman, that's why you don't understand. The Bible said, and the wicked shall not understand, so what can you say? Somebody said, don't say that about me. Well, the Bible said the righteous shall understand. So then which side are you on? You need to quit your foolishness. Get rid of your foolishness and get rid of your rebellion. And then you won't be called the wicked because you'll say, praise God, Brother Pike, I understand. I understand. Somebody say, praise the Lord. It's okay. Well, you seem like you're mighty excited, Brother Pike. Well, I'm just exhorting you a little bit. This is the way I see it, folks. See, if I say, with all of these things, this is the preacher's problem. With all of these things. See, he has to wrestle with all of these things. Somebody says, I don't believe in tithing, Brother Pike. Well, say, how long you been in the church? I've been in her church about 6 or 7 years. And you don't believe in tithing? No. You know why? Because you're greedy and gullible of gain. You don't believe in tithing because you don't want nobody to have your money. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody said, bless God, I give. But that wasn't what God told you to do. Somebody said, I'll give wherever I want to. But God didn't tell you to do that. God said, bring all of the offerings, all of the tithes into the storehouse. God's got a minister for that. God's got a leader for that. God didn't tell you to do that. That's God's money. It's not your money, a tenth. It's God's offering. God got a minister for that. God's got a people for that. God's got a rule for that. Somebody said, I gave it to my grandma. Well, it's okay. Give it to grandma and grandpa, but you'll still go to hell. Because God didn't tell you to give it to grandma and grandpa. God said, bring it into the storehouse of God. Somebody said, well, bless God, I don't know where any of them's at. Well, you don't need to be here with Brother Pike. If this is the storehouse and you ain't got no more understanding of that, no more desire than that, no more faith than that, you don't need to be here. And you don't need to be at any other church. If you haven't got enough confidence in the pastor and in the church and in the people to go there and support those things, then you don't need to be going to the church. Somebody said, I don't understand. If you wasn't a hypocrite, you'd understand. Like a woman that wrote me and said, Brother Pike, I hear you on the radio. On occasion, we get into some deep things on the radio. But you know what she said? She said, the way you preach, that is so plain, even a little child, she used the term, a little child can understand it. That's pretty plain, isn't it? And the Bible said, they shall all be taught of God. So, what we need to do is stop our foolishness and grow up and quit that foolishness. See, that's the preacher's problem. how we're ever going to get into the deep mysteries of God, how we're ever going to get the revelation of the Lord. Somebody said, well, bless God, I'm getting it. No, you're not. No, you're not. You ain't in that kind of condition and get nothing. Not anything. The Bible said, give the more earnest heed to the things that you've heard, lest ye should let them slip, and take heed how that you hear them. You're not getting anything. Somebody said, but I light up, Brother Pike. I know you light up because you are a reflector. That's all you are. Just like shining a light in a mirror, you line up. But you are a wandering star, always wondering about something, that the preacher said. You are a wandering star. You don't hold any place of duty. You don't stay with any church. You don't do anything at any place. And to be a responsible person and take a responsible place and really do something for God, you don't do that. How do you understand what I'm saying? You don't do that. You're just an old wandering star in your old place. Say, well, where's that brother tonight? Aren't we having church? Well, he wandered over to this church. Say, well, what are you doing over there? Well, I wandered over to another church. An old wandering star. Say, well, what do you do? Well, the Lord told me. What I don't understand, folks, and I'm talking about the preacher's problem. What I don't understand is how that God told me this in His Word, and then He told you something that's altogether contrary to the Word. Like I've had people to come to me about double marriages. I've said this before. I'd like to relate it tonight. I'll try not to hold you long. But people come to me and they say, Brother Pike, God has given me another wife. God has told me to marry another woman. I said, well, don't you have a wife? Yeah, but she won't work with me. I say, are you sure? Yeah, I'm sure. I say, are you sure? I've asked people, are you sure that God told you to leave your wife and marry another woman? Or are you sure that God told you, lady, to leave your husband and marry another man? Oh, yes, I'm sure. I prayed about it. I've had them to ask me this. They say, Brother Pike, now, I come here to see what you think about it. So do you believe God really told me? I said, sure, go. Said, you really believe that? I said, I believe that. I say, do you know the Word of God? Oh, yes, I know the Word of God. And you believe God told me that? I said, I sure do. He said, Brother Pike, do you mean that you believe that God told him something contrary to the Bible and you stand with him? What I'm talking about ain't contrary to the Bible. What I'm talking about is that God told Balaam in His Word not to do a certain thing. And Balaam was determined to do it. And finally God said, go on, Balaam. When you're reading the Word of God and God tells you not to get mixed up in that mess and you go on and do it anyway, God will tell you to go on and do it. He'll say, go on, Balaam. And then you get to feeling like, well, I feel all right about this thing. Bless God, I feel all right. Let the preacher scream all he wants to. I still feel all right about the way I think and the way I feel. Sure, go on, Balaam. Do your thing. Have that old hardness. Have that old devil. And bless God, I'm a man. Have your old devil. You come around feeling so strong and great and mighty as a man. You devil, go on. Cause the trouble. Have the hardness. Have the feeling you can punch somebody out, as we say. Filled with the devil. Instead of being meek and humble and sweet and submitting yourself. You've got to be like that. And you say, well, I'm a big boy. That fellow I met today was a big boy. About 6'3", I guess it was. I had to look up at him like that. Brother Steve, he come over and looked him right in the eyes. I couldn't do that. I just have to look up like that. I'm a big boy. I come around and want everybody to take a bow. Well, bless your little heart. You're at a place where there's some folks that will never take a bow to you. That devil you got, you might as well to get rid of him, because if you was as big as a beef cow out there somewhere, it wouldn't matter to me and wouldn't matter to the others either. This ain't the place where you come around doing those things. You might as well get rid of that devil. come around with that hardness. You know, stubborn, strong in spirit. Oh, strong-spirited devil. And you stand there, you might as well get rid of it, because like God said to the minister, don't fear their faces. I'll make your face as hard as the adamant stone. This is the stone that you're going to break on. If you don't break on this stone, it's going to grind you to powder. You might as well to make up your mind. You come to the place where you're going to do it. You might have been to another place and you've never done it, but you'll do it at this place. It's either do it or else. The stone will fall on you and grind you to powder. You don't come to Bethlehem and come to this message and then go away and start your thing. God's through with you. When you come here and you don't fall on this stone and you don't break, then God's through with you. Wherever you go, God's through with you. Let me tell you something, folks. You might run from church to church and you might run from doctrine to doctrine, but when you come to the truth, that's the end of the trail. The Bible said when you come to the knowledge of the truth and then you turn away, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but only the fearful looking forward to the fire indignation of God that shall devour the adversary. When you come to the truth, that's the end of the trail. From being on, you go away, you become a harlot. Take your wife and run off with her. Somebody said, I'll take my wife, Brother Pike. I'll go away with her. And I've warned many of them not to, like a boy that wrote not too long ago. Had a fine wife, clean, upright wife. And I talked with him and I talked with her. We're leaving. I said, okay. So he went off and the fine little wife become a topless. A topless dancer. You know what that is? The same individual turned and committed murder. Didn't mean to do it. But he committed murder. And he served many years. Take and run off. It may cost you your wife. It may cost you your husband. It may cost you your child. It may cost you your sanity. It may cost you your health. It may cost you every financial thing that you've ever obtained unto. Folks, you don't leave the truth. When you come to the truth, that's the end of the trail. You might become a drunkard, whatever. But when you leave this, you're gone. I won't become a drunkard. Oh, yes, you will. And young ladies, you look at me and sit there. You think you won't become a prostitute, but I predict that you will. You've already got trouble anyway. See? God looks on the heart. You've already got trouble. Already got problems. Your husband doesn't know it, but I know it. It's like one that came in here, sat up in the balcony. I made a statement about somebody, and this man was sharp enough that he picked it up. And he came to me. Very fine man. He picked it up. And he came to me after service. And I didn't say anything as to whether he could pick it up. But he said, you was talking about my wife. You was talking about my wife. He didn't believe it. The others I told didn't believe it. But the woman turned out to be the prostitute that I said that she would, because the devil was on her. The devil had her. Same way in Mississippi. When one came and fasted, sometimes as high as 21 days at a time. I said to my companion, I don't care how much she fasts. I don't care what kind of reputation she's got. There's a devil of lust that's got her. And someday it'll show up, and today she's one of the biggest prostitutes in that area. It doesn't matter if you fast. That doesn't have anything to do with it. Doesn't matter what you say. The thing is, if you're right, you're right. If you ain't right, you ain't right. Fasting and praying isn't going to do anything about it. You're going to have to get straight in your heart, straight in your mind. And folks, you don't have to go on a 30-day fast to be able to be straight. I know women that lived a straight life all of their life. They didn't fast, they didn't pray, neither was they a Christian. But they had some morals of decency. If you got it, you got it. Like I tell some of the others. Never in my life have I ever drank beer nor whiskey. Never. I didn't have to be a Christian. didn't know better than that. I knew better than that as a young man, as a young boy. I didn't mess with it. I didn't mess with dope. You run around and say, well, I can't help myself. I don't understand. It's just because you've got the old devil of contrariness. You want to do those things. If you want to do them, you're going to do them. You don't have to do them. That didn't save me. That didn't make me a Christian. It didn't make me a good person. I still had to be born again. I was just as wretched as anybody else. But I'm just saying there's some things that give you good common sense. There was good, precious mothers that lived for many years that tried to do right and raise their family right. There were fathers that did right, but they didn't drink. My dad didn't go around drinking and fighting and carousing around. My dad was a fine man. He didn't know much about Jesus, come from a Methodist family. But folks, he had some good morals. One of the finest little fellas that I ever knew. And when he, hard worker, and when he came to God, he tried to live a Christian life. Somebody said, well, bless God, with all your preaching, you didn't get through with to me. I'm not trying to get through to you. You are a devil. All I'm trying to do is cut you off. These scriptures cut you off and let you know that you ain't got it and you can't get it. It's not a matter of me trying to get to you. A devil is a devil. A saint is a saint. And the Bible said, woe unto that man that calls white black and black white. Or darkness light, light darkness. See, either you are a Christian or you are not a Christian. And the Bible said you're known by the doings. The child is known by the doings. Whatever you do, that's what you are. If you are an excuser, always making excuses, then that's what you are. If you're straight and upright, then that's what you are. If you're a man that will pay your bills and try to be straight with your fellow man, then that's the kind of fellow that you are. If you are a crook, a snake in the grass, you'll dodge every creditor. You'll go every way that you can because you don't care for a good name. And you'll bind, sell and sell. But never go straight. You'll never go straight. You'll never go straight. Always you'll leave a crooked path. Your mouth will run. The Bible said there's some mouths that ought to be stopped. Your mouth will run continually. And it'll always say the wrong things. You'll be backbiting, tearing down a brother, tearing down a sister, finding something, saying, well, I don't understand. Riding the old hobby horse of excuse. So that with your devilish evil ways, you can go out and... Well, the Bible says, if you gather not with me, you scatter abroad. Go out and scatter the people. That's the preacher's problems. So, somebody said, I want them deep hidden mysteries, Brother Pye. I want you to talk to me about them deep hidden things. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Deep hidden mysteries, great and mighty things, God said, I will show you that you know not. Call on me. I'll show you these things. You don't know them. But don't put your hands in the plow. Look back into Egypt, for the Bible said you're not fit for the kingdom of God. He said, now, Brother Pike, are you telling me I can't love my mama and daddy and my brothers and sisters, and I can't go visit my relatives? No, I encourage that. Like a brother came to me today, I believe it was. Said, should I call my mother? I said, by all means. Especially at Christmas time when a mother's heart is turned toward her children. Don't know where they're at. Wondering. You should be very thoughtful. Very considerate. You should do that. See your brothers and sisters. Should you love them and visit with them? Most assuredly you should. But folks, let me tell you. When you go to visit with mama, you go to visit with daddy, and you get up there and you get your mind stuffed full of some kind of garbage, and you visit with mom and daddy and they pervert you and turn you around and get your mind going another way away from what the preacher's taught you. What God has said, and you don't have enough womanhood and manhood about you to stand up against that and you listen to that garbage, whether it's your mother or brother or sister or whatever, and come back and try to make the preacher conform to your feelings, you need to stay away from that mama. You need to stay away from that daddy. You need to stay away from that brother. You need to stay away from that sister. You need to get your mind straightened out. A lot of times it ain't the brother or sister, it's you. You just don't have any real manhood about you. When your mother and daddy can stand up and put the Lord Jesus Christ down and everything decent and tell you that it isn't right, when you confess to the audience that you believe it's right, what kind of a fella or woman are you? Are you so wishy-washy how in the world God's ever going to use you? And then God lets you grow a little bit in the things of God, and you go back to a bunch of babies that ain't even got out of their diapers, and you start saying, well, bless God, I got to submit. You know, but they know too, and I'm going along with them. What kind of ignorant person are you when God is bringing you into something? God has got you over here in college, or God's got you over here in high school, and you go back through the elementary grades and you say, well, I know that you need to tell me. What kind of ignorance is that? How do you expect to get anything from God? And then you tell me that you've grown in God, and you tell me that you know something about God. You haven't learned anything, haven't heard anything. You're in worse a shape than you was to start with. More carnal than you ever was. You'd been better off to stay back in Egypt while you was there. But a person that can stand up and say, well, thank God, I'm growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. And I've found something in the Lord Jesus Christ. And look, mama, I come to tell you. And brother, brother says, you can't tell me, I already know. Sister says, oh, I already know. Say, brother, sister, regardless of what you feel, I've got something to tell you that you need to know. You think you know something when you don't know something. As you need to know, and be a real man and stand up for God and tell them people something. And the first news you know, you'll lead brother, sister, mother, daddy, whoever it is, into something for Christ. And they'll be grateful. And they'll say, my God, I never knew. I never knew. You know, some people, you can't tell them nothing. You go to tell them something, they'll say, you know, you see that just like I see that. That's exactly what I knew. Come on, folks. They don't know nothing. That's just like somebody come here, they come here, and I just got the report today. They said, I know the mistress. I know the mistress. And I think, well, how could the fellow know the mistress? He hasn't even got out of his diapers yet. Somebody said, you don't know that. Yes, I do know that. He hasn't got out of his diapers yet. I guess a mother ought to have enough sense to know when a baby's wearing a diaper. Talking about knowing the mistress, they don't know the basics. Like Brother Branham said, they don't even know their ABCs, let alone anything else. I don't guess there's anything more repulsive than that. You love the Lord?
Amen.
So then Jesus said, you're gods. Now, if you're gods, then that means you must know something. And if you're gods, then how can you go back to the beggarly elements of the world? Paul said, desiring again to be in bondage to those things. Worse than before. Worse off. How can you go back to those old things? And how can you go back into Egypt? How can you go back to the old way of life? Whether it be flesh as friends and neighbors, or whether it be relatives or whatever, how can you go back to that? You know, I could visit with my mother when she was living, and I could visit with my father. But the only thing is, that didn't affect my mind. I didn't let that affect my mind. He was my dad. He was one of the greatest of all because he was my dad. But I was the one that led my dad to God. I didn't sit and listen to my dad and mother try to tell me these things about spiritual things. I honored my father, my mother. The Bible said that's the way to do and have long life. But my father and mother didn't program my mind because I led my father and mother into the things of God. I led them into God. See, and that's the way it is, folks. If you're getting something and you're growing, let's be a real man or woman about it. Let's stand up like we ought to stand up and stop this devilish thing of rebellion and contrariness and gossip and backbiting and this hobby horse of excuse saying, I don't understand. How did another person wouldn't come to me and say that? You know, unless they are a person and they've got a problem. They say, Brother Pike, I've got something here that I don't understand. Now that's sensible, that's reasonable. Anybody could come like that and say, I've got something that I don't understand. Would you explain it to me, Brother Pike? I said, well, sure, to the best of my understanding, I'll explain it to you. Then I explain it to you and say, well, I see it. Now God understands that. But every time you reach somebody, you know, you see somebody, I don't understand. You know, because I want to do it this way, and I want to rebel this way, and I want to believe in this fellow, and I want to believe in this woman, and I want to believe in this. I don't understand. You are a hypocrite. That's why you don't understand. You're wicked. Somebody say, praise God. Or either be bold enough to stand up and say, that ain't the word of God, Brother Pike. You need to do one of the two. All right. So then, the wicked shall not understand, but the righteous shall understand. Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise
the Lord. How do you understand? Let me see your hands.
Hallelujah.
Got some folks that understand. Say, well, why don't the rest of them understand? Well, maybe they just didn't raise their hand. They just didn't mean nothing about it. Maybe they do understand. But the reason some of them don't raise their hand is because they are wicked. They're not going to admit they understand, because if they do that, then it can't come with their hobby horse of excuse day after tomorrow saying, I don't understand. Hallelujah! Glory to God. Somebody says, I don't know, Brother Pike. I feel real good about it. Glory to God, I feel real good about it. I'm going to say, well, bless God, I'm leaving. The faster, the better. The quicker you go, the better, the happier I'll be. The happier I'll be, because just as quick as you go, I can put somebody in your place. As long as you're there, I can't put nobody in your place.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. All right, go on to be a drunkard. Go on to be a prostitute. Go on your way and do your thing, because that's what you're going to do anyway. That's what you are anyway. If you stay at Bethlehem 5 years, 5 years from now, you're going to be the same. Like I said, the woman that talked to Sister Betty today, Betty said, to think that that woman told me that she loved me over and over, and then I talk with her, and she's so cold the way that she is. To think that. I said, she never was right to start with, Betty. I told you that when she was here. She never was right. Stayed here a number of years, but she never was right. You're sitting in my audience tonight, and you ain't right. Your spirit ain't right. You say, but Brother Pike, I come to church. It has nothing to do with your spirit still isn't right. God is a spirit. You serve God with your spirit. With your mind isn't right. Your mind's contrary to God and the preacher and whatever the preacher does. So, as the Bible said, if they'd have been of us, they no doubt would have continued with us, but they went out from us, that it might be made manifest that they were not of us. Glad to see Brother Gerald coming in. He's just now coming in. Sometimes it's a little hard for him to get over here. He has to work. He lives way away, but he loves to come over. Glory to God. Somebody say hallelujah. So, what should we do, folks? Go to dig a ditch. I'm going to close. I told you I would, and I will. You know, you go to dig a ditch, and somebody says, well, I would help you dig that ditch, but I just don't understand. So when you get the ditch dug and filled up and everything just right, so I think we'll get some hamburgers and milkshake. They say, well, I'll go with you because I understand. You know what it is? The old serpent's on his belly. The Bible said when goods increase, they that eat them increase. Always they understand when it's eating and drinking. They don't go to the table and they don't say, "Wife, I just don't understand." They don't do that. They go and they gullibly swallowed it up. And they're waiting for the next meal. And they understand it. But let the preacher serve a meal for the audience or serve a meal for the people, and they don't understand. They don't understand. All right, let's everybody stand together. That's the preacher's problem. A lot of things he'd like to say, a lot of things he'd like to do. But folks, it's like our little brother's over here on the end here. I can't even remember his name, but anyway, what can you say? He's John's son. He talked to me the other day. He lets me know that he understands. He said, "I like Bethlehem. I like being here. And ain't nothing but a lad now. But it's, I like being here. So I'm happy here." He was telling me these things the other day. What will we look like in the day of judgment when we stand before God and that lad takes such a pleasant attitude, wanting to do something and want to be here, and we start our Wahhabi horse of excuse with that old rebellious devil of ours called the preacher won't bow down to us or conform to our ways to get into the crooked paths that we're in to go the way we want to. The way that you want to go, to do the things that you want to do, what are you going to look like when you stand there and that lad stands there before God and God looks at you and God looks at him? Somebody say, "Praise the Lord." All right, if you're going to look back into Egypt, and some of you continually do it, some of you are going to do it. If you're going to do it, nothing I can say about it. You know, that's your business. Do whatever you will. But folks, let me tell you, be a real Christian. Love God. Walk with the Lord. Be clean and upright. It don't matter who crosses your path. Daddy, mother, husband, wife, children, friends, neighbors, whatever it is. Stand for God. Stand for God. You understand. When you go to tell somebody, if you don't understand, you're going to be a mixed up mess all of your life. You go to tell somebody about God, don't stand there and get halfway through the thing and say, "Well, I think that's the way it is. I ain't sure about it." Don't start nothing like that. The Bible said, "Study to show yourself approved, a workman under God that needeth not to be ashamed." You be positive. You be straight. Don't be wishy-washy in your mind. Let me tell you something in closing. Pass the beer. Okay. Let's look back at your yesterday. I know the Bible said forgetting those things that are behind. I'm not charging you with them. I'm just saying this, let's look back now. It's your yesterday. When you had that beer, you bubbled in it, you understood. When you cursed and you snorted and you fought and you took your dope, you understood. When you went to your frolics and your movies and you done your dirty, evil things with one another, you understood. Didn't you? Same brain, same fella. Wasn't all confused. Why is it when you get in the light and get into things of God and find the righteousness of Christ, you always don't understand? You know what's wrong? Let's face it. The Bible said your deeds are still evil. And the confusion is the light because you're still evil. And the Bible said you love darkness. That is your old intellectual rebellion, your old intellectual reasoning, your old intellectual way of life to make things come to your way of life or force the issue. That's why you don't understand. All right, let's sing a little course together. I've got numbers of people that's not with us today that always rode that hobby horse of excuse. They didn't understand. It was because they wasn't straight. And I knew that. I've got people that have never bothered me with such a flimsy, evil, ignorant thing. And they're still here today. They've been with me for years. And when I say that, I say again, that don't mean that a person does not have the right to say that I don't understand. Because if you come in a godly, sensible way, there's things that you may not understand. A little child doesn't understand things. You know, but I'm not talking about that at all. You may say that, I may say that, we may say that, they may say that. But I'm talking about that old devil, that old hobby horse of excuse, that old rebellious spirit, that old contrary thing. You don't never understand. You don't never understand. Okay, let's sing a little chorus together, can we? Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweet spirit. Sweep over my soul, for my rest it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet spirit, sweep over my soul. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. Tempest it may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Sing it again, can you? For we've anchored our soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. For though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Don't you just love Jesus? Do you love Jesus? Sing that chorus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Let's sing it together. Oh, how I love Jesus. He's so wonderful. We sang that song the other night, "You Gotta Walk That Lonesome Valley." I went out to what they call the Father's House, and Steve, they were really working. And they was back there, and dust was flying everywhere, and they was really working. And I heard them saying, "You gotta walk that lonesome valley." Let's sing that, can we? I think about that a lot of times. You know, it's good to know that you and I have Jesus to walk it with us. Isn't that right? But let's sing it together. You gotta walk that lonesome valley. You gotta go that by yourself, 'cause no one here can go there for you. You gotta go there by yourself. You gotta walk that lonesome valley. You gotta go there by yourself. There's no one here can go there for you. You gotta go there by yourself. Mama had to walk that lonesome valley. She had to go there by herself, 'cause no one here that could go there for her. She had to go there by herself. Daddy had to walk that lonesome valley. He had to go there by himself. 'Twas no one here that could go there for him. He had to go there by himself. You gotta walk that lonesome valley. You gotta go there by yourself. There's no one here can go there for you. You gotta go there by yourself. One more time. You gotta walk that lonesome valley. You gotta go there by yourself, and there's no one here that can go there for you. You gotta go there by yourself. I want you to lift your hands up with me now. I'm not going to ask you to come to the altar tonight. I usually do. But I'm just going to ask you to lift your hands up with me. Folks, think over what I've said. Wouldn't you like to be a God? Now, wouldn't you like to be a God? You say, "I don't understand." Don't do that. You know, if you don't understand, then you're wicked. Unless you are a babe. And the Bible said to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. Because you understand that. As to growing in the grace and the knowledge. You know, you take a little child in school, he might not understand what the third grader knows, but he knows what the first grader knows. He's still in school. He doesn't say, "I don't understand." He just stays with what he knows. See, to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus, because there comes forth milk. There comes forth when a mother sets a table. She puts milk, she puts bread, she puts quite a number of things there so that the little ones can have something to eat too. And God, He serves His table well. Have a good time in the Lord. Have a good time in the Lord.
See, Tabitha coming, you know, I watch her when she comes down to the altar. I believe the name means resurrection. Let's get in the resurrection. Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the life. It's like John, he came to me the other day. I said, John, I got something I need you to do. I said, I was going down the road with my wife and the Lord put you on my heart. And I'm asking you to do something for me. You know, John didn't say, well, I don't understand. And I'm sure he don't understand as to what that is to be done up there. But he didn't do that. He knows that he has the ability to face that thing and make it come out right and get with somebody, talk with somebody. Work that thing out, and he'll go right on and do it. Beware, lest somebody takes your crown. I got some men here that's good in metalwork, but they won't give me their talent. They won't come around and help me. They stay off from work. I find out their home numbers of days, but they won't come to Little Bethlehem because they're afraid I might ask them to do something, and they don't want to do it. Folks, I didn't want you to do it. The Bible, when Moses was building that altar, building that place, he said, let whosoever will, God said, come. I don't want you to give to this if you don't want to give. See, I want a cheerful giver. I want somebody that loves to do it. I want somebody to delight themselves in it. I want somebody that wants to do it. See, you just be in the way. And I appreciate the attitude that John took. He said, I'll get on it right away. Now, to me, that's the way it should be. Praise God, if it's something you don't understand, say, I'll jump on it right away and I will understand it. Because if you're righteous, you have a right to understand it. The Bible said that you have an unction from the Holy One that you should know all things. So why is it something there that you don't understand? Get on it. Work on it. Make it work out. Find out what it is. If you have to ask some questions, ask some questions. Whatever it takes, just do whatever is needful and it'll work out right. Every time, it'll work out right. You love the Lord? All right, I want you to close your eyes. I want you to lift your hands with me. Now, folks, it's like a man that come out today. I was digging in the ditch. He said, give me that pick. I said, no, I'm doing all right. I was enjoying it. And he said, no, give me that pick. And I kept on fussing with me. I kept on digging. And finally he was determined he was going to get that pick. And he looked at me like this. He said, you know, and I know, that it's high time I done something. I thought that was really something. You know, that's the attitude that we ought to take, folks. It's high time that Brother Pike done something. And it's time that you did something. So tonight, let's look at little Tabitha up here. As to the resurrection, the only one that came to the altar. And let's just say, God, a little child shall lead them. God, from this night on, I'm going to do something. From this night on, it ain't going to be no more of this old garbage if I don't understand. Or this old thing of that, you know. Yeah, I made this statement recently. And I'd like to make this statement again tonight. There's a brother that lives right down here in front of this church. That brother left another state to come here to work with these brethren. And got here and the devil balled him up like a little kitten with a ball of yarn. And Satan weaved a web around him so strong that he can't get out of it. And he lives right here at the church. And don't come to the house of God. Don't you know God is going to be angry in the day of judgment? Don't you know that? That's a bad situation, folks. You say, but Brother Pike, maybe he goes to another church. Maybe he does. But it would be wise to move over where that church is. And the same man said to me, I believe in this, Brother Pike. Don't give up on me. Keep praying. But for a number of years, he's made no effort. That's sad, folks. That's sad. Don't you do that. Don't you do that. I never will forget Brother Frank Beretta. Came down from Tennessee. Got rid of his home. Come down here. And one day he come to me and he wasn't living for God. He said, you know, said, I've done one of the most I don't think he used the terms ignorant, but he used his terms for it. Said, I sold out my place. I left Memphis. I come down here so that I could get a hold of spiritual things. And said, here I am out here making money, and here I'm not even living for God. So this don't make sense. That was the way he was talking to me. He said, I need to do something. And that's right, folks. Would you leave your home? Would you leave your job? Would you leave your family? Would you do a thing like that and come all the way down here? Many of you have done that. And come all the way down here and then get your mind on the natural things and the foolish things and let a devil of rebellion get a hold of you and weave a web around you and you not even come to the house of God? Now you know that don't make sense. Somebody said, well, I don't believe in you, Brother Pike. Well, why in the name of reasoning are you here? If I didn't believe in anybody, I wouldn't go. So, well, I think you're walking disorderly. Well, the Bible said, withdraw yourself from every brother that walks disorderly. I think that brother's walking disorderly. That's why I withdraw from him. That he might be ashamed and find his way. See, if you think I'm walking disorderly, you need to withdraw from me. Isn't that right? You don't need to support me. And for sure, if I'm not preaching the gospel, if you give me one dime, you're partakers of my evil, if it be such. And if I go to hell, you're going to go to hell with me. But there's one thing about it, if I'm preaching the gospel, if this is the right way of God, and you don't stand behind me, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. All right, so then we're here to worship the Lord. Brother Pike doesn't want to be hard on you. I don't want to be contrary to you, and tonight, preaching to you, I'm not trying to be hard on you. But I think it's high time that we face the situation and realize the preacher's problem and realize that you're the ones that's causing the preacher's problems, that you need to get away from that, and that every problem you called the preacher, you got it to pay for. Did you know that every time you grieve me, you got it to pay for? It might be the loss of the wife. It might be the loss of the husband. It might be the loss of the mind. It might be the loss of a loved one. It might be the loss of your finance. It might be the loss of your health. But every time you grieve that preacher, you got it to pay for. For the Bible said it's not profitable for you to grieve the man of God. And when you just move right out here in the front of us, as I said that fellow has done, won't come to the house of God, that's grievous. He'll never be blessed. Oh, somebody said, well, he'll get this and he'll get that and he'll have money. I don't care about that. He can pile it up, he can stack it up like cordwood. That ain't got nothing to do with it. He'll steal, die, and go to hell. See, so don't grieve the minister. Don't do things silly and foolish and childish when you know it's a demon of rebellion and then use an excuse and become a liar. That's lying against the truth. That's what God killed Ananias and Sapphira for. When you know you're in rebellion, get rid of that thing. Don't keep that kind of spirit and then mess around and use some other kind of excuse when you know you're lying against the truth. See, just be what you are. If you don't want to be here, go somewhere else. If you don't believe in what I'm preaching, go hear another preacher. No problem. See, if you do believe this is right, then get in here and be a real man or woman and stop this foolishness. Don't be looking back into Egypt every day. Get that off of your mind. All right. Let's just bow our heads together. Close our eyes and lift our hands up. And while we're standing here, I want you to know I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. I am praying for you. Maybe you're praying for me, but when you're in your bed asleep, I'm praying for you. And maybe some of you ain't in your bed asleep. Maybe you're praying for me. I hope you are. I'm going to ask Brother Don Kleinitz to come down here and dismiss us tonight. But folks, think these things over. While Brother Pike is telling you these things, think these things over. Come to some kind of a reasonable thing. And don't cause the preacher problem. Don't war with him in your mind all the time. That's foolish. See, if you war with the preacher all the time, it means you've got a devil. And you don't need to have a devil. Any time that your mind wars with the preacher all the time, you've got a devil. And you need to get the devil cast out. You need to get right. You need to get straight because you've got a devil. But he said, I ain't got no devil. I'm telling you, you've got a devil. No man can war with the minister of God and not have a devil. That is a devil. There might be things that you don't quite understand, and maybe you're growing in grace and knowledge and you're just working along to try to come into the fullness of the stature of Christ and to understand better. That's great. Folks, and you're going to have things that you have to work with, but anytime your mind wars with the preacher, you've got a devil. You need to get free of that thing. You're never going to find fellowship with him. And if you don't find fellowship with him, it's for sure you ain't going to find fellowship with God. Because the Bible said, submit yourself unto that minister as one that watches for your soul. See, little Joshua come up here tonight. You think about those elders dying in the wilderness, wondering of their corrupt minds and the children going in. Today, when they couldn't get them out there to dig that ditch, my little ones were lined up down that ditch. Isn't that right, Tony? Man, I had a whole slew of them. You know, they want to help. They want to do something. And that's what we need to do. Folks, I tell you what. If we'll get together and love the Lord, call on the name of the Lord, he'll show us great and mighty things that we don't know. And this is what I mean. I've been in the room with him today. I've been in there talking with him today. He's been showing me great, mighty things today. I've been feasting. Been feasting like the song said, honey in the rock. I know you ain't going to submit your spirit to me. I know it. But that's okay. You would if you was my sheep. I'm not going to worry about it. Jesus said, I've not lost to one of them. That makes a man uneasy. You know why it makes this man uneasy? He's a young man. You know why it makes him uneasy? He's a fine man, real fine man, but he's got that resistance, and he just can't get over that place. You know what it is? He's found fault too long. You walk your nature. See, if you don't watch out, you'll walk your nature. And what it is, you keep finding fault, and you find fault too long, and then you can't get free from it. See, it's a matter of a spirit. You done walked your nature. And it's like a house. You done built it crooked. You done got the foundation ready to leave. I don't care how much you build to it. It'll always be a crooked thing. See? And if you don't watch out, you'll warp your nature. Break that thing. Say in your heart, bless the name of the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all of his benefits. I'm not going to have a resistance. Somebody says, well, I can submit myself to the Spirit, but not to you, Brother Pike. That wasn't what the Bible said. It didn't say submit yourself to the Spirit, not to Brother Pye. It said submit yourself unto the minister, for he watches for your soul, and submit yourself one to another, to the individual, as a membership to a membership. If you can't submit to the man, it's for sure you can't submit to the Spirit. You can't separate God from his word, you know that. Bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, you do it to the least of these, you do it to him, whether good or bad. So then tonight, while we're standing here, Brother Don's going to come and pray with you and think these things over. I tell you again to think them over, because we're fixing to do something for the Lord. We're fixing to do something for the Lord. You love the Lord? It's so beautiful to stand here and look beyond the veil. The man that I said something about, he took that to heart. Did you know that? That young man took that to heart. And he judged that as being right. Because he's a fine person. What can you say? And with what I said, he took that to heart. To make up his mind that he was going to make an effort. And right here tonight, immediately, he started making an effort. And I think it's wonderful, don't you? Somebody say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel the connection of God. That God accepted that of that person. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost just standing here. I feel him. We sing that song, God's on the main line. Tell him what you want. Hallelujah. Tell him what you want. Now, isn't that wonderful? See, just that one brother willing to make that connection. One rejoiced, they all rejoiced. All of a sudden, that one brother willing to make that connection. And the great Holy Spirit began to move over the altar. Isn't that wonderful?
Somebody say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That makes you thrill all over, Brother Taylor. It makes you feel good. Hallelujah.
All right. God bless you tonight for that, brother. The Lord will do something for you for that. Hallelujah. You say, oh, Brother Pike, that couldn't be right. Yes, it's right. I'd tell you who he is, and he'd step right out when I told him, and he'd tell you in a minute that was him. Because he knows. So wonderful to look beyond the veil. Could we just sing another verse of that, Don, for you that says, I love him? Can we do that? Let's try that again. I love him. If you love him, you'll keep his commandments. I love him. I love him. Maybe someone might like to come to the altar. I don't know. If you would, the altars are open. You're certainly welcome to come. We're not trying to push this service closed. He purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree.
Tonight and believe. Let's pray one for another and believe. God has been good to us. We pray for a number of people and they've been healed through this awful thing that's come to the people. Let's pray. Let me say this in closing tonight. I heard a Jewish brother say that in every synagogue that the Jews are praying, and they say, now this is what they say. They say that it is now time for the Messiah to come. Remember now, if the casting away of the Jews be the reconciling of the world, what will the receiving of the Jews be but life from the dead? They say that this is the season. They say that it is time for the Messiah to come. Okay, brother.